ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
This is a good time to come together for remembering the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, for remembering Krishna. Of course, every day is a good time to do that, every minute, and that's the process of bhakti, how to be constantly in contact with our original divine source, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I wrote down from someone I was talking to earlier something that caught my attention, and that is alignment brings harmony. Actually, it has to do with, it was in the context of Iyengar Yoga, which stresses aligning oneself, aligning one's physical body and mental body. This is consistent with the idea of Bhakti Yoga. Alignment brings harmony. That there's actually nothing really wrong with us, except for being out of alignment. And the Bhagavad Gita is the perfect way to become realigned by hearing Krishna's instructions for us. And one of those very important instructions comes in the 18th chapter, 48th verse. And this verse you might find encouraging. And because I thought you might find encouraging, I decided to read it. So here it is. I'll say it in it. If you like, you can repeat. Sahajam karma kaunteya. Sadosham apina tyajet. Sarvarambha hi doshina. Tumenagnir ivavrita. Sahajam. Born simultaneously. Karma. Work. Kaunteya. O son of Kunti. Sadosham. With fault. Api. Although. Na. Never. Tyajet. One should give up. Sarva arambha. All ventures. He, certainly, doshena, with fault. Dhumena, with smoke. Agni, fire. Iva, as. Avrata, covered. Translation, every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Let's say it together. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In conditioned life, all work is contaminated by the material modes of nature. Even if one is a brahmana, he has to perform sacrifices in which animal killing is necessary. Similarly, a kshatriya, however pious he may be, has to fight enemies. He cannot avoid it. Similarly, a merchant, however pious he may be, must sometimes hide his profit to stay in business, or he may sometimes have to do business on the black market. These things are necessary. One cannot avoid them. Similarly, even though a man is a shudra serving a bad master, he has to carry out the order of the master, even though it should not be done. Despite these flaws, one should continue to carry out his prescribed duties, for they are born of his own nature. A very nice example is given herein. Although fire is pure, still there is smoke. Yet smoke does not make the fire impure. Even though there is smoke in the fire, fire is still considered to be the purest of all elements. If one prefers to give up the work of a kshatriya and take up the occupation of a brahmana, he is not assured that in the occupation of a brahmana there are no unpleasant duties. One may then conclude that in the material world no one can be completely free from the contamination of material nature. This example of fire and smoke is very appropriate in this connection. When in wintertime one takes a stone from the fire, sometimes smoke disturbs the eyes and other parts of the body, but still one must make use of the fire despite disturbing conditions. Similarly, one should not give up his natural occupation because there are some disturbing elements. Rather, one should be determined to serve the Supreme Lord by his occupational duty in Krishna consciousness. That is the perfectional point. When a particular type of occupation is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, all the defects in that particular occupation are purified. When the results of work are purified, when connected with devotional service, one becomes perfect in seeing the self within, and that is self-realization. So, there's a tendency to think that by readjusting my situation in the material world, that I can find a comfortable spot. Unfortunately, there is ultimately no comfortable spot in the material world. The advice that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita has to do with adjusting internally and understanding, first of all, what the goal of life is. Because, as you may have noticed, when you're working on any project or performing any kind of discipline, when you're very clear on what the goal is, then you can tolerate the various obstacles or disturbances that may come up in the course of performing your duty. Not knowing where the end point is or what one's working for oftentimes amplifies the various kinds of faults that are there within the activity itself and makes the task seem more arduous than it actually is. So in the Gita, Krishna tells us that the ultimate goal of life is to remember him, especially when leaving this world. And therefore, the entire lifetime that we're allotted as a human being is meant for practice or preparation. What's it meant for? Practice and preparation. And the kind of practice and preparation that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita has to do with learning how to remember him. For instance, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the perfectional stage of bhakti yoga is to have love for Krishna, and therefore it's all a foregone conclusion that when you have love for someone, you naturally think of them, and you're naturally giving to them simply out of a spontaneous feeling. He says if you don't have that feeling yet, which is described, that feeling of love for Krishna, as the original state of pure consciousness, the pure soul, is to be a devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions this in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. When a living entity is purified, he's called a devotee. And so, if one's working in the world in various ways, and at the same time is aware of the fact that the goal of life is to remember Krishna, then even obstacles become opportunities to remember Krishna. So after Krishna says, think of me always, he says, if you can't do that, then practice the tenets of bhakti in order to come to the stage of remembering me. And then if he says, if you can't do that, then you can sacrifice some of the result of the work that you're doing, because by doing that, you'll remember me. Sacrifice the result and give it to the causes that directly support Krishna. For instance, Prabhupada mentions Sankirtan, like devotees here do. They work really hard. They go out of their way to earn money, and then they give it to sponsor books so they can be distributed and other kinds of projects. And this is the spirit of what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, to sacrifice some of the result of one's work for spreading Krishna consciousness. He says, if you can't do that, then try to be charitable. In any case, wherever you can be charitable. Because by giving away what you have, you realize that you actually don't lose anything. Because whatever you have now, you're going to lose anyway. But when you give it away purposefully and preemptively to a good cause, then you realize that your independent state, that you're not really dependent on the things that you're holding on to. And you become ready to accept the principle that there's something beyond matter. You can experience it for yourself, that you become bigger by giving. And then he mentions that there are other processes. If one can't do these things, then one can also learn to be detached, and also there's processes of meditation through which one can see the difference between the body and the self. So in taking this spirit of preparation and practice, one may encounter so many different anomalies in life, but because one's ultimate goal is to remember Krishna, these kinds of obstacles become the chance to grow. There's a statement in Srila Prabhupada's purports in which he says that one must develop unflinching devotional service. Now, when one has an opportunity to flinch because of various distractions or obstacles, then one gets a chance to practice unflinching devotional service. So in the verse we've read today, we get the sense, and the reason I said it was a relief, because oftentimes when people take to any practice or discipline and then there are obstacles and irregularities, then they think they're doing something wrong and they become discouraged. But here Krishna is saying, there's actually nothing wrong with you. It's the nature of the world. Because of the mixture of the three modes of material nature, which are inevitable. Prabhupada mentioned that in his purport. No matter where we are in this world, he mentions this also in the 18th chapter, whether you're in a higher planetary system, a low planetary system in the middle, he said, there's no one that's not affected by these three modes of material nature. So when you're expecting it, and when you know that that's a concomitant aspect of doing your duty in life, then you won't be so disturbed by that. And here Krishna is recommending that you find a steady place, this way of working according to your occupation. Everyone has a certain psychophysiological makeup. And when you find the place where you can be balanced and go on doing your work and your duty and your practice of Krishna consciousness, and then you tolerate whatever obstacles are there and go on with your duty and with your service, that will help to help the practitioner to become steady and strong and come to the ultimate goal. This is the thesis behind this. So there's other evidence of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma recommends Stane stita shuti katam tanuvan manobir. And that stane stita means that whatever position you're in now, you don't have to drastically change it. And it's not possible anyway, because as Krishna's telling Arjuna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had the idea that the duty he had to do as a warrior didn't look so good because of the way in which the war was shaping up, and it turned out that a lot of the people that were on the side of the enemy were his friends and relatives. And then he reasoned that even if I win, I lose. So I don't want to do my duty anymore because it's not a good outcome. And this is a part of this, the sense of this verse today. You may have a duty to perform, and the outcome inevitably may look like what you weren't expecting or you didn't want, but you still have to go on with your duty. So Krishna told Arjuna that if you shirk your duty and you go away and try to become something that you're not, you'll inevitably come back to your nature, and you'll perform the kind of work that you're compelled to do because of the makeup of the modes of material nature. You can't avoid that. It's one of the themes of the Bhagavad Gita. But what can you do? You can implement your devotional practice even in the situation you're in now. And this is the sense of sthane sthita. Stay where you are. Stay in the situation you're in now, but add something. Specifically, he's saying sthane sthita shuti gatam tanuvan manobir, and that means add the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. These are the primary aspects of bhakti. The bhakti has nine primary practices, and the first two are called shravanam kirtanam. Everyone please say. These are elusively, they sound elusively simple, but they're profound. Because we are what we hear. Sound vibration is the primordial cause of everything that we see around us, according to the Vedas. And the ways that the way in which one can become enlightened in this world is also through sound. The way in which we develop anything in our life is through sound. Prabhupada gives this example in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when he mentions that if someone wants to construct a skyscraper building, it starts with the sound vibration. Someone begins to talk about it and say, I'm going to build a skyscraper building, and then puts pen to paper and begins to manifest from the subtle to the gross. And then there are many things that that person will have to say over the phone, through typing and things like that, in order for all the energies then to manifest. And in a similar way, he says in that purport that all the energies, or he says rather the paraphernalia, spiritual paraphernalia necessary for one to advance in Krishna consciousness, comes about when one makes the spiritual vibration. And he specifically mentions the Hare Krishna mantra, which is a 16-word, 32-syllable mantra, which you may have heard of, but I'll refresh your memory because it's always good to remember this mantra. It goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One of the best ways to approach a spiritual mantra like this is to not take it for granted. Don't think, oh, I already know that. In fact, that's one of the, always a folly in any discipline. I met a Madanga teacher once when I was in New Vrindavan, and I said, well, can I learn that beat from you? Can we sit down? And what do you know already? And he said, I know Tariketa, which is the simplest of beats. And he goes, yeah, right, everyone says they know Tariketa. No one knows Tariketa. He chastised me right away. It's a simple hand practice, but it's easy to say, yeah, I already know that. And so in approaching the practice of bhakti, the primary aspect of is, hearing and chanting, the transcendental sound, one can approach it as a beginner every time and think, I've never heard this before, and let me be attentive. There's a way that I can see everything as gray in this world and forget that everything I'm looking at is miraculous. So shravanam means that you make the sound, spiritual sound vibration of Hare Krishna, and all the paraphernalia that you need will manifest in your life in order to allow you to advance in Krishna consciousness. of course, there are other things that may appear in your life that seem like obstacles, but they're actually opportunities to develop unflinching devotional service. Otherwise, how are you going to practice if you don't have a little friction? Right? Sure, Vaisheshika Das. It's easy to say, but it's a fact. And the way in which the entire world is designed by Krishna, according to him, and this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to help us become more sensitive. After all, karma means what goes around comes around. So if there's a way in which I act in ways that are out of harmony with the ultimate goal of life and with my nature, then there's a result, a consequence that comes to me. And that's the great teacher, the consequences that I get. Then if I'm smart, I think about it. And then I refine myself, I reform myself. And this is actually an exciting prospect, that one can go on refining oneself to the point of developing a soft heart. One can develop actual compassion. In developing compassion, one becomes actually happy, because practically compassion is the opposite of envy. And the envy that enters within the heart of every living entity, Krishna says in the Gita, Icha dvesha sumutena dvanva mohina bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarga yanti parantapa. He said it's all pervading in this world. It prevents me from actually tasting the real nectar of life. In fact, it keeps me on the edge of unhappiness constantly. But by purification, through continuously doing one's duty in Krishna consciousness and vibrating the transcendental sound, all the stars are here tonight. I don't know what happened, but great to see everybody. How are you today? Happy, right? I could tell everyone looks happy. You all look happy and like you've had serious spiritual practice today. You've done. So I wanted to give you this encouraging verse, that there's fault in every action that you do in the material world, but that doesn't preclude you from making advancement in devotional service. In fact, it can help. Now I'll take a few reflections just on the points that we've heard so far. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned that the ultimate goal of life is preparation and practice to remember Krishna. So that was a very deep takeaway for me.
Constant was a deep takeaway?
Yeah.
What did you find interesting about it or helpful?
It is helpful because it brings me back on track to be determined. It strengthens my determination that what is the real purpose? As you say, also don't major in minor things. So oftentimes there's an opportunity to be sidetracked. So it brings my GPS to the right destination. And there is this aphorism also mentioned, Tattu Samanvayat, the ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that remembrance was helpful for me. And thank you for sharing.
Okay, yeah. Preparation and practice, and keeping your fixed on the goal.
Thank you. Also, you chose the right verse from Bhagavad Gita, which is every endeavor has some faults. I was meditating on when we started our deity worship, and you know, initially it was more excited to do the deity worship in Bascom. When you are doing, but when you read the 64 varieties of offenses during the performance deity worship, then you are extremely discouraged, because there are so many, pretty much all, every 10 minutes you can find out that we are offenses involved in terms of understanding those facts. But later on also this verse gives us the, you know, encouragement that no matter what, it's, you are not going to be perfect instantly. Rather than it is just practice. Abhyasa yoga yukthena chitasana nigamina.
Yes, yeah, thank you very much. Otherwise, one can become paralyzed by thinking about how I'm doing everything wrong or making offenses. So much of the aparadhas have to do with our attitude as well. And there's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about how the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, used to every day give a massage to Mahaprabhu, and right afterwards he would go and take his prasad and then go on with other duties. And one day when Mahaprabhu would take him prasadam, he went into his cabin and he lay down within the doorway, and Govinda said to him, "My lord, I can't get in because you're blocking the doorway." And Mahaprabhu said, "I'm too tired. I can't move. Do whatever you wish." And he went, he took rest. So Govinda put his chadar over Mahaprabhu, and then he stepped over his transcendental body, which is considered an offense. And then he massaged the Lord, and then he stayed there. And when Mahaprabhu awoke, he said, "What are you doing here? You didn't go to take prasad yet." And Govinda said, "Well, I couldn't get out because you're blocking the doorway." And Mahaprabhu said, "How'd you get in?" But he wouldn't answer verbally. He answered within his mind. He said, "To serve you, I'll make an offense. But for my own satisfaction, I won't make an offense. I'll stay here." He wouldn't go out to eat, but he'd come in to serve Mahaprabhu. And the severity of offenses has to do with also the mood in which one's conducting one's service. Of course, Prabhupada mentions in that section on offenses that one should be, always have keep one's eye out to avoid offenses, try to see them. That's part of the attitude. Thank you for that. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Whole class is so ecstatic from starting. Two points I noted. One point you told that how when purposefully and preemptively, if you give, then you're not dependent on the thing you are based on. That is
that what?
That you are based on, like that you are holding on.
Yes.
Then you are not dependent on that thing if you preemptively and purposefully give that things out. And second thing, from the that purport you quoted from 3rd Canto, 26th chapter, verse number 32. It is stated also in the Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of all objects. And at the last, Prabhupada says that we have to understand very clearly. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins and the other...
What is the verse number?
3:26:32.
3:26:32. Here it comes. You want to hear it? Do you all want to hear it?
Yes.
It could drastically change the way you see the world. Still want to hear it?
Yes.
Only three people said yes.
Yes.
All right. When egoism and ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested. And from sound come the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. Purport. It appears from this verse that all the objects of our sense gratification are the products of egoism and ignorance. It is understood from this verse that by agitation of the element of egoism and ignorance, the first thing produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. Just a little background. Throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a discussion of what's called Sankhya. Sankhya literally means to count things and categorize them very carefully. So there's a meticulous cataloging of the various elements that make up the material world. Ultimately, they all come from the same source. And however, they do manifest in a particular chronological order. One thing extends from another. And when the material world is dissolved, they telescope back into one another, the elements, and they go back into neutral state. For what it's worth, That's a little bit of an introduction. It is stated also in the Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of all objects of material possession, and that by sound one can also dissolve this material existence. You can live off that one sentence. That's to celebrate it. Anavriti Shabdat. Everyone saying Anavriti Shabdat. Means liberation by sound. The entire material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. The particular sound capable of doing this is the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna. Our entanglement in material affairs has begun from material sound. Now we must purify that sound in spiritual understanding. There is sound in the spiritual world also. Abhay, is there a sound in the spiritual world also?
Yes.
Thank you. Correct. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins and the other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. We have to understand very clearly that sound is the beginning of the creation of all material objects for our sense gratification. Similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities also are produced from sound, spiritual necessities. Here it is said that from sound the ether became manifested and that the air became manifested from ether. How the ethereal sky comes from sound, how the air comes from sky, and how fire comes from air will be explained later on. Sound is the cause of sky, and sky is the cause of shrotram, the ear. The ear is the first sense for receiving knowledge. One must give oral reception to any knowledge one wants to receive, either material or spiritual. Therefore, shrotram is very important. The Vedic knowledge is called shruti. Knowledge has to be received by hearing. By hearing only can we have access to either material or spiritual enjoyment. In the material world, we manufacture many things for our material comfort simply by hearing. They are already there, but just by hearing, one can transform them. If we want to build a very high skyscraper, this does not mean that we have to create it. The materials for the skyscraper, wood, metal, earth, etc., are already there. But we make our intimate relationship with those already created material elements by hearing how to utilize them. Modern economic advancement for creation is also a product of hearing. And similarly, one can create a favorable field of spiritual activities by hearing from the right source. Arjuna was a gross materialist in the bodily conception of life and was suffering from the bodily concept very acutely. But simply by hearing, Arjuna became a spiritualized Krishna conscious person. Hearing is very important, and that hearing is produced from the sky. By hearing only, can we make proper use of that which already exists? The principle of hearing to properly utilize preconceived materials is applicable to spiritual paraphernalia as well. We must hear from the proper spiritual source. What did I tell you? Did you like it? But only a little bit, right? You liked it a lot? She liked it a lot. Okay. Now tell me what you liked about it. Yes.
It's how Prabhupada is making it practical that even a common man can understand. Like if we go to any yogi, he will say that it's a trance, then you have to see some light. But here Prabhupada is straightforward saying that just by hearing, you can get either material happiness or spiritual happiness. And he's also giving a hope that just by hearing, all spiritual necessities come. So going into the new year, this topic that you selected is giving me lots of hope. That's simply
yeah.
hearing.
And as I mentioned in the beginning, it's important to know the goal of the practice and also the means to reach the goal. And because there are so many distractions in life, can I get a yes on that?
Yes.
One should know what the basic practice is so that one can stick to it. Any discipline, it requires incremental improvement and application in a way that is practical for the performer. And this is practical, but one has to, of course, hear about what the practice is first in order to implement it and also have faith in it. If we hear about the efficacy of shruti, of hearing, and how just by hearing, aligning ourselves with spiritual sound and staying in touch with spiritual sound, that all of the spiritual paraphernalia will become available to us, then we may be motivated to implement various ways in which to hear about Krishna at regular intervals throughout the day. Right? What else did you hear? Yes.
I like the fact when you said that alignment brings harmony, and you see that all around you. Like if you're in the kitchen and if you don't put the jar properly in the mixer, then there's a horrible sound that keeps coming. Even in relationships, if people don't have the same alignment, they're not aligned to the same thing, then there is a lot of friction that happens.
What's the word mean? Let's look it up. Can we? Alignment. Anyone want to venture before we give you what the dictionary says? No risk takers out there tonight? Okay, go ahead. Well, who is that? Oh, yes, go ahead.
In one line.
Alignment means in one line? Okay.
It is the first one. So it's a noun which says arrangement in a straight line.
Arrangement in a straight line. Okay.
Or in a correct or appropriate relative positions.
Correct or?
Appropriate relative positions.
Appropriate relative positions. This is much what the verse was about today also, because everyone has a nature according to the modes of the gunas, and aligning oneself with those and then going on with one's practice of Krishna consciousness is one of the formulas that Krishna is mentioning in the Bhagavad Gita. Alignment there is important. Go ahead.
It also means a position of agreement or alliance.
Position of agreement or alliance.
Alliance.
Yeah. Which is also a kind of oneness or alignment. Oneness that Prabhupada mentions in his purports that when we become one with Krishna, we become one in purpose and in agreement. There's an agreement that, we can agree, at least theoretically, that there's a way in which, well, Prabhupada asks the reader of the Bhagavad Gita to suspend a disbelief while reading the Bhagavad Gita and accept that there is a higher authority. And if one can accept that there's somebody who knows more than I do and can give perfect knowledge, and then you read with that in mind, this forms a kind of agreement with what's being taught, and then it becomes effective. Otherwise, if you don't agree with it, or if you think that I already know everything, or that there is no higher authority, then it's very difficult to take advantage of Krishna's teachings. Anything else?
It comes from French, aligner, which means from a line or into a line.
Into a line. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, you also mentioned that dukkha, that word comes, the Sanskrit word for this misalignment, dukkha.
Yes. When dukkha means to be out of alignment. For instance, when your axle is out of alignment with the wheel, then you get friction, you get excess heat, you can actually catch on fire, and it's a rough ride. So similarly, the way in which I live my life, when out of alignment with, as we'll say, Krishna's will, it creates a lot of heat and friction and dukkha, or which we call misery. But by the understanding that whatever is happening in the world is happening by Krishna's will, and aligning myself with his will, then I don't experience misery. For instance, misery means when the world moves against me in some way. Does the world ever move against you in some way? Always. So then, you know, it's my perspective. I always think when natural disasters, sometimes when we've had earthquakes here in the Bay Area, I always seen how much disturbance it causes. But then I think, well, if I wasn't living in a house, or if we didn't have brittle constructions like bridges, then we wouldn't really even notice it that much. It would just be kind of an interesting phenomenon that the earth is shaking. But because of the way I've developed my life and putting everything into the idea that, like, this is my house, it's going to be here forever, and so forth, when it shakes and moves, then I think, oh, this is misery. So actually understanding how Krishna's moving everything and staying in alignment with that is one of the ways Lord Brahma says the devotee should always think, that whatever's happening to me is happening because of the mercy of Krishna. What else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So when you're mentioning about difficulties that we face in devotional service, I was remembering this quote that I liked a lot earlier. Success is not measured by the height one reaches, but by the obstacles one had to cross to get there. So I was recollecting that, and I was thinking, yeah, it's actually a very appropriate point. And it's actually Krishna's gift that Krishna is giving to us, mm-hmm. in order to make us better sadhakas. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other points? Where's Monisha? Oh, there she is. No, she's not. Where is she? Back there. Okay. In a minute. I just want to make sure you're here. Okay, what other points? Yes. On the internet? Okay, go right ahead.
Yeah, Maharaj, another point I liked is when you said, we are what we hear. And mm-hmm. I was just thinking that normally when we go for book distribution, we introduce higher taste and we say, we are what we eat. And we give the book, they say, yeah, yeah. But then I was thinking that there is another thing when introducing Mahamantra, that we can say that the Mahamantra is so potent, the sound vibration, that we are what we hear. So just thinking on that lines.
Yeah, during one of the political campaigns in the past, I was listening to an interview with one of the campaign managers. I forget even which political campaign it was, but sometimes I become fascinated with these things, just in the way in which they utilize resources to spread a message rapidly around the world. They have a lot of techniques that we can borrow from. And this campaign manager said, whoever rules the airwaves wins. And this is a standard understanding of the practice of bhakti also. However you organize your life in the sense of hearing, to accommodate your sense of hearing, that's the way you'll go. And Rupa Goswami says in the Upadeshamrita, Tannama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananu Ragi Jananugami Kalam Nayad Akilamity Upadesha Saram. He gives us this, the essence of all the advice about bhakti, and that is that you should organize your life so that you can hear. And as Prabhupada mentions, by purifying the sound vibration. And by doing that, he says that step by step, you'll come to the highest realm of spiritual realization. You'll realize that you have a relationship with the spiritual world. And that manifests, he says in the verses he composed, by one's becoming attracted through the process of hearing to those residents of the spiritual world. And there is a way that one will become attached to a particular resident of the spiritual world in the way that he or she performs devotional service to Krishna. And then one's attention will go more towards that person and the way, the mode of service that person is performing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, whom the author of the book, or who Srila Prabhupada quotes in that verse, tells how there's a step-by-step process of advancement, and it all begins with hearing, and it's sustained by hearing, by the process of shravanam. And one from the internet you had?
This is Danvari Dasi Mataji from San Diego. Danvar pranams to you, Guru Maharaj, and to Prabhupada. I like what you said, that whatever position you are in, try not to change it drastically. Do your duty. The outcome may not always be pleasant. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, because what are you going to do? So in that vein, I want to bring another verse to the fore from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is from the 11th canto. And this verse is Sway Sway Adhikari Yanishta. What's the verse number? Mukarvin? I thought I had it here. Sway Sway Adi, oh, there it is. 11:21:2. I think you'll find this also encouraging. Do you like to be encouraged? But only a little bit, right? Okay. I'll say, please repeat. Sve sve adhikariya nishta. Saguna parikirtita. Viparyastu dosha sya. Ubayoresha nishchayaha. Sve sve. Each in his own. Adhikare. Position. Ya. Such. Nishta. Steadiness. Sa. This. Guna. Piety. Parikirtita. Is declared to be. Viparyayo. Viparyaya. The opposite to. Indeed. Dosha, impiety, syat, is, ubayo, of the two, asha, this, nishchaya, the definite conclusion. Now you really want to hear it, right? You want to hear the definite conclusion? Okay. Steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna explained that the path of spiritual progress begins with working without fruit of desires, advances to the stage of realized spiritual knowledge, and culminates in direct engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Here, the Lord emphasizes that a conditioned soul should not artificially disrupt the natural evolution of his Krishna consciousness by deviating from those duties prescribed by the Lord himself. In the lower stages of human life, one is entangled in false identification with the gross material body and desires to execute material fruitive activities based on society, friendship, and love. When such materialistic activities are offered in sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, one becomes situated in karma yoga. By regulated sacrifice, one gradually gives up the gross bodily concept of life and advances to the stage of realization of spiritual knowledge, whereby one understands oneself to be an eternal spirit soul, completely different from the material body and mind. Feeling relief from the pangs of materialism, one becomes very attached to one's spiritual knowledge, and thus one is situated in the stage of jnana yoga. As the candidate further advances on the spiritual path, he understands himself to be part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. He then sees that his conditional life as well as his spiritual knowledge, was obtained from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards the results of all types of activities, both pious and sinful. By directly engaging in the loving service of the Supreme Lord and understanding oneself to be the Lord's eternal servant, one's attachment evolves into pure love of Godhead. Thus, one first gives up the lower stage of attachment to the material body and then subsequently gives up attachment to cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This relieves one of material life. Finally, one recognizes the Lord Himself as the resting place of one's eternal love and fully surrenders to God in full Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna explains in this verse that one who is still attached to the material body and mind cannot artificially give up the prescribed duties of karma yoga. In the same way, one who is a spiritual neophyte just beginning to realize the illusion of material life should not artificially try to think of the Lord's intimate pastimes 24 hours a day, imitating the stage of prema bhakti. Rather, he should cultivate analytic knowledge of the material world by which one gives up attachment to the material body and mind. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find many analytic descriptions of the material world, and they can free the conditioned soul from false identification with matter. One who has achieved the perfect stage of love of Godhead, however, being freed from all gross and subtle attachments to the material world, may give up the lower stages of karma yoga and jnana yoga and engage directly in the Lord, in the loving Lord's loving service. In chapter 19, verse 45, Lord Krishna states, guna dosho dushir dosho gunas tubhaya varjita. One should not see material good and evil within a devotee of the Lord. Indeed, one becomes pious by giving up such mundane conceptions. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that occasionally a neophyte devotee may be polluted by association with those enthusiastically executing fruitive activities and mental speculation. Such a devotee's religious activities may be affected by mundane tendencies. Similarly, an ordinary person who observes the exalted status of a pure devotee sometimes externally imitates the devotee's activities, considering himself to be on the same exalted platform of pure devotional service. These imperfect practitioners of bhakti yoga are not exempt from criticism, since their fruitive activities, mental speculation, and false prestige are material intrusions in the pure loving service of the Lord. A pure devotee engaged exclusively in the Lord's service should not be criticized. But a devotee whose devotional service is mixed with material qualities may be corrected so that he can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. Innocent persons should not be misled by the mixed devotional service of those not engaged exclusively in the bhakti yoga system, but those unable to fully engage in Krishna consciousness should nevertheless not give up their regular prescribed duties, declaring them to be illusion. For example, one unable to fully engage in pure Krishna consciousness should not give up his family, considering it an illusion, for by doing so he will fall into illicit sex life. Material piety and analytic knowledge of the material world must therefore be cultivated until one comes to the stage of directly practicing Krishna consciousness. Did you find that helpful? Yes. Yeah? In what way did you find it helpful? Yes?
So, I mean, I don't know what my position is, but I was particularly reflecting on the Jnana Yoga aspect where he was talking about analyzing the material world. Because sometimes our mind gets disturbed when someone says something, but when the disturbance fades away, then one should ask that, okay, I mean, one can put the blame on that other person or that other event, but one should ask why that disturbance came into me in the first place. I mean, what's the reason why I got disturbed? And if one thinks that, a devotee thinks that, you know, he's in the path of Krishna consciousness, then he should think that this probably was a test from Krishna, and Krishna was telling me that that's what you are, basically. That's what you are. So don't try to, you know, sometimes we feel that when you are chanting, or sometimes we feel that we have become a pure devotee,
But then through these events, Krishna tells us that that's what you are. So you know, you have a lot more to go before, you know, reaching that stage. So that's what attracted me, that analyzing our, you know, the material aspects of our life.
Thank you. That was nice. Right behind you, Bali.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. This really, I liked it because it correlates with what we were earlier discussing, which is one should not, even though it seems difficult, one should not be discouraged in practicing. There will be no, initially a person may not be perfect, but once he practices, he'll slowly come up to this. And this verse also mentions like how you can start off with, how you can understand the material world, and then slowly and slowly you move on. Slowly and slowly you advance. So I really liked about that.
Okay, yes. The verse itself says, Sve Sve Adhikarya Nishta Saguna Parikirtita. So that means that it's a guna. It means it's a good quality if you act according to your position. That means you do the best you can with what you have right now, because that's all you can do. Don't artificially try to go faster than you're capable of doing. Now, of course, this brings up an interesting point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Shikshamrita, rather. And that is that one should not go too faster than one's capable of. In other words, don't be artificial. Be real. And practice the best that you can in the position you're in now. Try to apply the principles. Don't try to jump ahead haphazardly. But he also says, don't try to go too slow either. of course, this verse says, Viparyas, the opposite, to dosha said. It's the opposite is true. It's a fault. Ubaryo even esha nishchaya. If you try to do more than you're capable of doing, and you do it artificially, then it's a fault. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if he gives an example of climbing a ladder, he says you put your foot on the rung of the ladder, and when it's solidly placed there, then you have to move to the next rung, and you have to keep moving. He said if you try to run up the ladder too quickly, without getting your feet steadily on each rung, then you may slip and fall from the ladder. He says, however, if you don't move fast enough, you don't move when you can, he said, then your advancement in spiritual life will be distant. So you have to be aware of the situation you're in now and apply yourself appropriately, and then you'll naturally move forward. There's a mentality I've mentioned many times that is worth being aware of, and that is the idea that I'm permanently unqualified. And that's not allowed because of the power of Lord Vishnu. This is mentioned by Shukadeva Goswami early on in the Srimad Bhagavatam Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumba Yavana Kasadaya Yenecha Papa Yadapashraya Shrayashu Janti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. And that is, he says anybody can come to the highest stage of perfection in devotional service because of the power that's coming from Lord Vishnu. So one can't say that it's good for everybody else or for a certain number of people, but not for me. Everyone can make advancement in devotional service. Another point?
In this verse is like in the one chapter before when Lord Krishna is describing pure devotional service to Uddhava, in which verse that you quoted many times, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyate yavata mat katha sravanadova sraddha yavan na jayate, like you as long as one is not satiated by fruity activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by sravanam kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions.
Doesn't it make you want to look at that verse? Could you tell what it is, please, again?
Yes, 11.20.29.
11.20.9. 11.20.9.
In the purport of this, I see that many explanation.
Srimad Bhagavatam. Although that's a nice verse also. I'll say, please repeat. Tavat karmani kurvita. Na nirvidyeta yavata. Makata shravana dauva. Shata yavan najayate. Tavat.
Up to that time.
Karmani.
Fruit of activities.
Kurvita.
One should execute.
Na nirvidyeta.
Is not satiated.
Yavata.
As long as.
Matkata.
Of discourses about me.
Shravana adau.
In the matter of Shravanam, Kirtanam, and so on.
Va.
Or.
Shraddha.
Faith.
Yavat.
As long as.
Na.
Not.
Jayate
is awakened. Translation, as long as one is not satiated by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. Purport. Unless one has developed firm faith in Lord Krishna by association with pure devotees and is thus engaged full time in the devotional service of the Lord, one should not neglect ordinary Vedic principles and duties. As stated by the Lord Himself, Shruti, Smriti, Mamai, Vagye, Yas, Te, Ulangya, Vartate, Agya, Chedi, Mama, Dveshi, Madbhaktopi, Navaishnava. The Shruti and Smriti literatures are to be understood as my injunctions, and one who violates such codes is to be understood as violating my will and thus opposing me. Although such a person may claim to be my devotee, he is not actually a Vaishnava. That the Lord here states that if one has not developed firm faith in the process of chanting and hearing, one must comply with the ordinary injunctions of Vedic literatures. There are many symptoms by which one can recognize an advanced devotee of the Lord. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 127, it is stated, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayasya Vairagyam Jnanam Chayarahaitukam. One who is actually engaged in advanced devotional service immediately develops both clear knowledge of Krishna consciousness and detachment from non-devotional activities. One who is not situated on this platform must comply with the ordinary injunctions of Vedic literature or risk becoming inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the other hand, one who has developed great faith in the devotional service of Lord Krishna does not hesitate to do anything that will further the mission of the Lord, as stated in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devarshi bhutap nandranam bitranam nakin karonayam narnicharajan sarvahatmanaya sharanam sharanyam kato mukundam parihritikartam. Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Srila Jiva Goswami points out in this regard that when a person fully surrenders to Lord Krishna, he takes shelter of the Lord's promise to liquidate all other responsibilities and debts of the surrendered soul. The devotee thus becomes fearless by meditating on the Lord's promise of protection. Those, however, who are materially attached are frightened by the prospect of full surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thereby revealing their inimical mentality toward the Lord. They ended with a zinger. So this is even more evidence for the principle that we're talking about. This verse says, Tavat karmana kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadova shraddha yavana jayate. Tavat, until that time that one has full faith in hearing about Krishna, one should live a balanced life according to the Vedic regulations and not deviate from the Shruti and Smriti, which indicates also Varnashrama. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.
Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, hey, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman.